Hello, welcome to another episode of Cadaver Gals. This is the podcast where we talk about all the ways people have died throughout history so that we can cope with our own mortality. Does it work? Nope, but here we are. I am one of your hosts, Gabby, along with Nika.
Hi, hello.
And Taylor.
Hi, it's me and the helicopter above me right now.
Well, I sent them over to you. I'm delivering you a package.
Okay, great.
A helicopter package.
Great. That's not creepy at all.
No, it's normal. That's what I do for my friends. In the service of others is how I live my life. Nika cackles. Today on the show, we are going to go down a wild ride featuring murder and poisoning. It's going to be so fun. And then we're also going to hear about how the Vikings may or may not have had the best teeth. There's a death in there, I promise. I promise people are going to be dying in this episode, okay? We have some trigger warnings, dentistry, murder, poisoning, your body doing crazy things when it gets poisoned, snakes, abortion, hot dudes who are Vikings, and also maybe ugly dudes who are Vikings. Not saying that all Vikings were dudes. I'm just saying, okay? It's not going to be a full Chris Hemsworth Thor only type of Viking thing, okay? So, yeah. Cue the music.
Cadaver Gals.
Oh, wow. Wasn't the music as fun as it always is? We all just had fun. We're having a good time.
Yep.
And Nika is going to start off the show today telling us some really wild shit. I read a little bit about it, but it was confusing. So I'm excited that you're here to explain all of the twists and turns. Take us down this wild mountain road. Zigzag.
Will do. Ooh, yes. Okay. I had some banana bread this morning, so I am feeling good, feeling fresh, feeling sugar, sweating. Let's do this.
Sweating. We're ready.
Okay, so today, so excited. So today we're going to Cambridge, England to meet
Queen.
Yes, yes, literally Queen. She needs to be dethroned. Okay, to meet Walter Horsford. Who was killed in 1898. Okay, not 1989, like Taylor Swift, 1898. But he was no victim, you guys. In fact, he was actually the opposite of a victim. What's the opposite of a victim?
A
murderer.
Mouse.
He was a murderer. Okay, we've got some different ideas on what a victim is. So here we go. Walter was a pretty well-off farmer living in the small village of Spaldwick. And when I say small, I mean like very, very small. It now has a population of a whopping 631 people or villagers, as you would call it. So very small town. So I'm sure back then it was even like much, much, much less. So he was 26, you know, living his quaint village life as a villager. The idea of a villager is just so cute to me. But he was not cute. Well, I mean, I guess he was because he fucked. Okay. And it seems...
happening? Hey, Nika, you don't have to be cute to fuck. You can be looking like an alligator and be fucking, you know? You can have that dry ass skin and be fucking.
But the alligator has a je ne sais quoi. So really, I think what we need to talk about is to someone, that alligator is cute, you know? So
that's
in the
true.
End, he is still cute. Or she. Or, you know, they. I don't know what the alligator might go as. Okay.
But Walter, he's not Nika's cup of tea.
No,
because
he's not.
Nika prefers a cappuccino tea.
I was like, what does Nika prefer? I can't wait to hear this.
What do I prefer, Gabby? Okay, gotcha. I mean,
that is true, though. Fancy lattes?
Caffeinated. No, I actually usually just go iced coffee, black. Or Americano black. I don't ever
Don't gaslight me. I've seen your Instagram. I've seen the pics of the latte art. Okay.
Oh, okay. That was 6 years ago, but whatever. Anyway, so he was living his quaint village life because we don't Instagram lattes anymore. Okay, sorry. And actually, I still do.
Oh my gosh. Get so on
sorry.
With it.
I'm on it. I'm sorry. It's really hot in my house. Okay. So he was living his quaint village life, and it seems like he was having an intimate relationship with his cousin, Annie Holmes. Yes.
Now, Annie
was a widow. She was 38. And back then, obviously, being a widow was the worst. I mean, it still is very bad now. Yeah. But she relied on her late husband's income. And as a 38-year-old woman with kids from a past marriage and no work skills, she was having a hard time because, again, guys were in the 19th century. Now, Walter seemed to be there for her, and they both kind of got something out of the relationship. No harm done, right?
Except their cousins.
Yes, except their cousins. That is until Walter marries his other cousin, Bessie Mash, on October 1897.
Right.
Yes.
When you can't have one cousin, go for
Have another. Exactly.
I love the name Bessie Mash.
Really?
I'm going to rename myself that and people, and then I'll go perform for cows, you know?
Okay, that sounds wonderful. So I couldn't find a lot of info on her other than she was a distant cousin of his, but, you know, whatever. The point is they were all cousins. It was this big cousin situation.
So were all the villagers cousins? It was just like a...
I mean, probably.
Maybe,
that makes
honestly,
sense.
Maybe. But it seems like they were fine. Like, they weren't deformed or anything, or I mean, they were just fine. They were just kind of fucking each other until the fucking led to a pregnancy. Yes. Shortly after Walter's wedding, Annie hits Walter up in December and tells him that she is pregnant. Now, this is December, so he's been married but is still going and doing who knows what with other cousins.
It's more like whomst knows what whomst. Whomst. No, it doesn't work because it's olden times.
Yes.
Whomst knows what.
Thank you. Thank you, Gabby. Post-concussion Gabby is still just surprising me every day.
Still fresh.
So obviously he's in a pickle. He doesn't know what to do. And
he's
it looks
in a
like-
pickle with his pickle.
Yes. Yes, he is.
Gabby. Thanks for the fake laugh.
That was kind of fake. That was kind of fake. I won't lie. Okay. So they communicate via letters, right? Again, it's the 19th century. And he sends Annie a letter telling her that they can figure this out and it's fine. He is literally quoted saying, this is kind of weird. It makes me think he's kind of a, I wouldn't say rat-like because we have some rat defenders in our Cadaver Pals group and that's okay. But he's just slimy. Okay. He's just like, ugh. Okay.
So like because, a toad. No, a frog. Because toads, they're not slimy. Because they're land.
That's
they're dry.
True. I think frogs are cute, though. But okay. So he said, quoted, but you must remember that I paid you for what I had done. Which to me is kind of like, okay, wait. Was he like paying her for sex? Like, and it, I mean, we don't know. You know, I can't ask him. I can't exhume him and ask him. But I just think that sounds kind of ominous and weird. And like maybe this was a financial situation. Okay.
It's cousins supporting cousins, you know?
Very strange.
Right.
I'm confused, but continue.
The first OnlyFans.
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
But it's just your cousins. Only
Taylor,
cousins.
You went to college in Kentucky. Is that cousins helping cousins?
Okay. I mean, I didn't know anyone myself who was in a relationship with their cousin, I don't think.
Well, you never know. But okay. So,
what a weird trust issue that we all have now. It's like, are you in a relationship with your cousin? We'll never know. There's
You'll
no way we can know.
Exactly. Yes. So Annie tells Walter that she doesn't want to keep the baby. You know, she already has three. Like, it's too much. And obviously, he doesn't want his new wife finding out that he's fucking another cousin. And he definitely doesn't want an illegitimate child. So good. They're all in agreement, right? This should be a cut and dry case. He goes to a chemist, and you'd think he'd get, like, Diachylon, which was this like lead heavy ointment that
you would think he would get that.
Okay, I'm literally trying to teach you all something. Can you listen? Anyway, that was a lead heavy ointment that when ingested led to lead poisoning and abortions or miscarriages. Or there were also back then pills containing pennyroyal or rue or tansy, which were all serious herbs that could really mess with your body and basically cause menstruation. And back then they didn't use the term abortion. They would just be like, get your menses. Get your menses, everyone.
Like, everybody get your menses.
Exactly. Like, they would be just like, it induces blood and, like, period, which basically means no baby. But they would never say, you know, abortion or anything.
They were just flushing out the devil.
My goodness. Yes, they were. So you would think You would think, now that you know about 19th century abortions, that he would do that. But instead, he got 90 grains of strychnine, which is rat poison.
Oh.
Why would he do that? Cadaver gals? Cadaver pals?
Because she's pregnant with a rat. That's what happens when you mess with your cousin.
Oh my gosh. Oh, that's not it. But okay. Oh. It's because murder. So, oh. Because murder. So, listen. So, Walter buys the strychnine, signs his name at the chemist, and delivers it to Annie in the mail. Annie, the cousin, remember, that he impregnated, with instructions to, and I quote, take in a little water. 'Tis quite harmless. Mind you, these are not the instructions that the chemist said. These are instructions in his handwriting. And then on January 8th, 1898, Annie receives it in the post, very grateful, because she's like, yay, I get to have a, you know, my period, my miscarriage. Like, this is good.
That's nice of him, though, because, you know, dudes don't always be paying for your plan B and shit. That's so true. You know, they don't always be contributing. So, you know, on the surface, he's seeing like he's doing the good dude thing, right? Instead of being her cousin.
Exactly, right? Well, and cheating on his wife.
On his other cousin.
Family, yeah. Taking care of family.
Cousins helping cousins. Okay, so she receives it, and then she takes around 10 grains of the poison with water, like, you know, he had said in the note, at around 9 p.m., and she immediately goes to bed. Then at around 11 p.m., she wakes up in severe pain, and this is really sad. Her children, like, crowd around her, wondering what's going on. Annie, obviously, had ingested the poison. And it looks like with strychnine, it takes 15 to 60 minutes for someone to begin experiencing the symptoms of this poisoning. Depends on how much you take, basically. But it's very, very fast acting. And what the poison does, this is bad, it attacks the nerves that control the muscles, which causes major muscle spasms and intense pain. And then if there's enough, then this leads to major body convulsions, almost like a seizure. But the victim is fully conscious. And not only is the victim conscious, because the strychnine attacks the nervous system, it also can attack the nerves in the brain. And apparently it like heightens perception. So like the pain is like not, it's not only painful, but it's actually more intensely painful because of the poisoning, which is just kind of scary and terrible. So yeah. And then the muscles controlling breath, they spasm and freak out, which leads to suffocation and obviously death.
No, that's so, I don't like that.
Well,
I don't like the poison.
Yeah, things. And strychnine, it was like a rat poison, and it's still used now for gophers, I think, but it's not as common for rats anymore.
Gophers?
Yes, gophers. It's crazy. I like found some on Amazon.
Some gophers on Amazon?
No. I didn't know we poisoned gophers.
Yeah, because I think they eat crops cute? Or something like that. Okay, anyway. So her daughter, Annie Jr., runs to the doctor, but by the time that he arrives, Annie is dead. As we already said, strychnine poisoning is very quick. And also, I learned that half a grain of strychnine can be fatal. So you can imagine why it went so quickly, because she literally, in her body, was found that she had 10 grains of strychnine. And he had bought 90. And then they also found more, like, under her bed. It's insane.
He's like, just in case.
Yeah, so the doctors, obviously, they couldn't do anything. So they called the police, and the police searched the house and found crumpled up pieces of paper, letters, under her bed. Now, we can only imagine, who were they from? So during the inquest, which is
basically... The devil.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The cousin. I'm with you,
yes. Nico. Thank you, Taylor. Thank you.
I forgot about him. I was thinking about the rats and the gophers.
Okay. So during the inquest, which is basically like the legal investigation of her death by a judge, because I don't know what an inquest was. Dumb bitch juice. Walter was contacted and questioned, and he lied, saying he never wrote any letters to her and hadn't seen her in months.
Wow.
But
liar, liar, pants on fire.
There we go. Pants down. Pants down, because he was having sex.
I mean, you cannot see someone even if you're banging them. You know, you can close your eyes.
That's very... That's actually kind of valid.
So was he lying or was he just being annoying?
But he also said he didn't write any letters to her. And that's a clear lie, because the handwriting from the letters that were found matched his own handwriting, and more letters from him were found. And they were all alluding to the fact that they had seen each other and that they were doing the moving around, you know?
Yeah, cousin moving.
The cousin moving. So Walter was arrested. And then on June 2nd, he had his little trial. And he pled not guilty. He really thought he was going to get out of this, y'all. But then the chemist who sold him the poison pointed to his little record-keeping book and was like, hey, this is my little receipt. Okay, Walter did buy the same poison that killed Annie just a few days before she died. And then all of this was heightened, all of the trial insanity was heightened by the fact that his previous fiance, Fanny James, died in 1890 after becoming pregnant and receiving a letter from Walter. And doctors at the time labeled the cause of death as death through eating a hearty meal.
I would be dead so many times.
I know, right? Like, I would be, baby's a zombie hit. But the symptoms were actually consistent with strychnine poisoning. So what's up with that? Also, it seems like he impregnated another girl whose name is not recorded, and she also died after receiving a letter from him.
So he's like, I'm going to send you, he sends them letters?
Yes, like, with the abortion.
He didn't even pills. Try and cover his tracks.
No, he didn't, but in reality, it was poison. And then as if that wasn't enough, a cousin of Fanny James, his former fiance, also died after being served an extra like glass of beer by Walter. So this man was poisoning
sketchy.
People.
Sketchy. He was just poisoning
sketchy.
People.
Sketchy.
He was like, he was impregnating people, then poison. Pregnant, poison.
Yeah. PP. That's weird.
Pregnant, poison. Wow.
Doing the PP, the old PP. Okay. So obviously he was found guilty by the jury and he was sentenced to hanging. Which actually didn't really happen that often anymore. Again, 1898, you know, we all know that public executions were not nearly as common, and I think were actually illegal by then.
We all know.
Again, we all know that this is the logical thing. Anyway, sorry. I'm just trying to teach you guys, okay?
We've talked about it, I'm sure. I just, you know, dates don't stick in my brain.
Gotcha.
Yeah, Taylor doesn't see time. She doesn't have that, like, fourth dimension anymore. She's just circular. Everything's happening at the same time. Yep. She's wise.
Wow, I love that. Oh, I just wish I could smooth out some of the wrinkles in my brain so I don't think as much. Because that's...
You're like, I want a clean, sexy, sleek brain.
Yeah, I really do. Ugh, the wrinkles in your brain are so ugly.
I gotta get some Botox in my brain so it looks good.
Brain Botox, BB. Y'all know we got the PP, pregnancy poisoning, the BB, brain Botox. Okay. Anyway. So, obviously, as I said, it didn't happen that often anymore. So, they had to construct special gallows for him. And it is said that while he was in jail, he asked the warden, hey, what are all the construction sounds going on? And then the warden was like, oh, it's just a new building. But it was actually his special gallows. And while he was in jail, he also admitted to poisoning Fanny James and the unnamed girl that he also impregnated. So, he, like, sent a letter to his wife. And was like, I did this. I'm so sorry. And then
what is she doing?
She's just, I don't know.
She's mad.
There literally is no record of her. So, you know, whatever.
Seems about right.
Yep. Right. Women in the 19th century. Oh, yeah.
Poor Bessie Mash.
Yeah. But her legacy will live on forever now that Gabby's changing her name. So.
Yeah.
And yeah, he was executed, you know, fell 7 feet, hung, broke his neck, died.
Cha-ching.
Wow.
That's the story.
That was a story. Damn, this man. Okay, so now don't ever trust a man who brings you plan B, okay?
Yeah.
See, you got to follow him. You got to see where he got. Did he sign his name at the chemist?
Yes, exactly. Go with him. Costco usually has coupons. Like, you know, do the whole thing, but see him buy it.
Can you get plan B at Costco? Would you have to get like a super family pack of plan B or something? Family pack, plan B.
Actually, I think you can go and get it from there even if you don't have a Costco membership, which always scares me. I think I've only been to Costco once, and it was under a false membership. But I think the guard was racist because I used my friend's ID, who is also Colombian, and we don't look alike at all. But I showed the guy the ID, and he was like, that tracks, and like let me in. And I was like, oh.
Wow. Okay. That's rude. But also that's cool fine. That you got in, you know?
It was. You know, they have hot dogs. I didn't know that.
Yo, Walter's murdering was kind of like Costco size too. You know, he did a family pack of murders.
Yep.
Him and all his unborn babies.
Yeah. And his cousin. But I guess it was just the one cousin and all the other people were non-cousins.
We don't know that. We can't trust anyone. They're dating their cousin.
Absolutely. Also, did he just not want children? And is that why he just Link killed anyone he got, like, he impregnated?
It seems like, you know, there might have been something wrong with him, perhaps.
Well, he was murdering, so probably.
Maybe his brain was too smooth.
Maybe he got that BB.
He had that
BB. He got that BB done. Hit. Okay.
Hit. All right. Well, Nika, thank you for telling that twisted and twisting story. Learned a lot. I don't know what I learned, but I'm going to sit with it during the break and think about my own self because, you know, that's how you learn. You just got to always relate everything to yourself. You know, that's what I do. That was weird. Be right back. We're back.
Whoa. Whoa, slow down.
All right, we're back, motherfuckers, okay?
Oh, my God. Goodness.
What are you going to tell us, Gabby?
Yo, I'm going to tell you something. Okay, so a few weeks ago, we had a listener who got really upset about our rat torture episode. And, you know, because we mentioned rat torturing in regards to Emperor Nero's time, but then also in the 16th century. And the person was upset, not necessarily, you know, about later in the episode when we talked about, you know, like child abuse and stuff, but they were very upset about the rats, not the people being tortured by the rats, but the rats and the treatment of the rats.
Although the rats were eating, the rats were munching, all, you know, all-inclusive buffet.
Look. Yeah. I think it's so funny and just interesting to find where people's lines are, you know? Like, yeah. That was a funny line for me. Based on, there's so many other lines that I believe we've crossed.
There are many lines, but, you know, we need that person to stand up for the rats, right? You know, defend the rights and dignity of ancient and 16th century rats. You know, everyone has a role to play in this world. And I do want to say about strychnine. So I'm going to be talking a little bit about strychnine, as Nika said, it you know, has been used as a rat poison before. And I just want to say to this person that I was reading an article that was talking about strychnine and how it isn't used as much as rat poison anymore because of it is relatively inhumane for animals to die that way. So but it gophers. Is used. I mean, the gophers. Yeah, sure.
I'm upset.
I mean, you can stand up for the gophers, okay, Taylor? We have this rat person. You got the gophers.
Yeah, the rat, you know, rights person, the RR. Wow. Yeah, what are we doing? RR is taken.
Yeah. So
I'll take the gopher.
You take the gophers. So it's not used because it's really inhumane, but also because people, you know, also accidentally eat it and die. So that could be it too. But I was reading about strychnine in general, and the most interesting thing that I found is that some people do take it on purpose.
What?
And who are those people?
For
the
suicide?
Pentecostals. Oh. No, for religion, for God, Nika.
Oh, okay.
What?
Doing it for God.
That's weird.
It is weird. But the other thing that they like to do in this Pentecostal group that I will be talking about is they also like to handle snakes. And no, I don't mean penises. I mean literal snakes.
They definitely don't handle penises, really, unless you're married.
And then you have to close your eyes very tight. You know, you can't look at it just like Walter did in my imagining of him.
Right, of course.
So basically, this Christian group is called the Church of God with Signs Following. But what they do is they just take the Bible like way too literally. There's this verse in Mark 4:20-69. Just kidding. Mark 16, 17 through 18, blah, blah, blah. And it says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." And they're just literally being like, okay, well, if we handle snakes or if we take poison or whatever, we should be fine if we're good with the Lord.
They were just flirting with death.
Yeah, but they're like, but then also if the Lord takes us, then like the Lord was like, bruh, it's your time to go. So, you know, whatever, you know?
Stupid. I'm sorry.
Or if you get bit by the... Okay, yeah, you could kill... You could specify it as that, I would say. So basically, this is in Appalachia, where these people kind of exist still, and they're mostly in West Virginia because in other states they've made it illegal to handle venomous snakes. And also, we should say they're serpents, not snakes. They have to be venomous. And that's apparently what a serpent is, according to the science of this Christian
religion. Of the Bible. Religion. The science of the Bible, right.
The science of the Bible. And so this dates back to this guy named George Went Hensley. I mean, apparently when he was a kid in the early, 1900s, there was this box of rattlesnakes that were dropped in front of him, and then he didn't get bit. And he was like, religion, I don't know. And he's like, I'm going to handle these snakes, my dudes. And then he sort of started this tradition of having, I guess, your weekly church gathering would be, they'd be talking in tongues. They would be doing if you're imagining a scene from True Blood with religion, it was like that, the fundamentalists out in their little tents and handling their snakes and shit. Okay. But then he did die in 1955 from a snake bite. So, it'd be like that. The snakes that they usually use in these are, they have rattlesnakes, cottonmouths, copperheads, any type of venomous snake that could kill you if it takes a chomp. And usually at the service, members of the congregation, they're allowed to pick up a snake. People bring their own snakes, or, certain people bring snakes. And then they let it crawl over their body. Snakes are supposed to represent the demons and the devil. And if you don't get bit, that shows that you have power over the demons. But then if you do get bit, it's a sign from the Lord that, your faith is bad. Okay. So
dumb. I can't.
And then on principle, they don't get medical treatment for their bites because, it's up to God's will. If you seek medical treatment for your bite, your faith is weak, my dude. Okay.
Yeah. That's they're not trusting God to fix them.
Yeah. And then that's when you can sort of level up your experience. While you're handling a snake, you could also be taking some poison. And strychnine is usually the poison of choice that has been used. Love to see it. People will just be up there, handling some venomous snakes, drinking some strychnine,
Strychnine milkshakes.
Yeah. Mm. And since this sort of started in the early 1900s with Mr. George, anywhere from 60 to 100 people have died from snake bites during a service.
That's very, very bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's also interesting, thinking about strychnine, if you're kind of thinking about, with Nika describing what happens with it, it does fit in kind of with this, fundamentalist vision of, people speaking in tongues and stuff like that, because you, start convulsing and having these spasms and, your back gets arched and stuff. So, kind of that.
Nope.
That Hollywood cinematic sort of speaking in tongues thing. I mean, this applies to it. It makes sense. You're like, oh, yeah, they're convulsing because they're taking poison.
But they think it's the spirit of the Lord entering into them or something, right?
Well, it's the Lord's going to protect you. So if you take poison, then God's going to protect you from dying. That's kind of the idea. And if you die, your faith is weak, or God's yeah, it's your time. So one of the most famous serpent handlers was Mack Wolford. He preached and handled snakes all over West Virginia. And he claimed to have been bitten by snakes 300 times. And he has also claimed to have drunk at least 2 gallons of strychnine.
Good Lord.
In his life. He did die in 2012 from a snake bite, though. Okay. So, and also,
finally, just took the right snake.
It took, and also the snake was, though, a snake that he had, it was a snake that he had, brought with him, on his little tours.
His little pet snake.
Yeah, his little pet snake, and its name was Old Yeller.
He named a snake Old Yeller? Snake was so offended, he was like, I'm gonna kill you now.
So the snakes they represent the devil, but he's
demons, yeah.
Demons. And so he's just got them as pets. He's got a bunch of pet demons. That's what he thinks. And he's just it's just so dumb. I just can't.
Well, maybe he likes it because he has dominion over them, but clearly not because it killed him. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's they represent demons. And if they don't kill you, then you have power over the demons. But it's not a metaphor. It's just literally you have power over snakes.
Yeah.
But Old Yeller bit him on his thigh and he died 8 hours later, and he refused medical treatment.
Sure.
Until the very end. He was sure. But then he died at the hospital. So I guess his faith was weak.
I feel doctors near the West Virginia location where they're at, if they ever do receive, these snake bites and stuff, must be so annoyed because they're just oh my gosh, these people again.
Well, I've read some articles, and it seems like, I mean, you would think, obviously, this is very, like, fanatical and bizarre and weird, but just sort of, like, reading about these people, I mean, some journalists who have, like, you know, done documentaries, they're like, I mean, they're not the weirdest people, you know? They're just like...
Who are the weirdest people, then?
That I guess, yeah. Us. Who? Maybe Walter. I don't know. Maybe, yeah, us. I don't know. So, I don't know. People be doing their thing. They'll be doing their people thing. But yeah, Wolford also, his dad was a serpent handler as well. And he also died from a snake bite in 1983. So.
Wow. There you go.
You know? And just so you guys know, if you do want to go to one of these services, it is not required to handle the snake. But maybe you're a bit of a pussy if you don't.
I thought it was illegal.
Oh my gosh.
It's illegal to, in some states, but there hasn't been, like, there isn't like an overarching like Supreme Court decisions that's like, basically, it's like you can't intentionally put people in harm's way. And I think it's like in Kentucky and a few other states, okay, they've made it illegal. But,
so that's what it was. Okay. When I was in college in Kentucky, I remember there was like this church bust that they had like all of these snakes and snake handlers and stuff. And
what?
And it was like a huge deal when I was in Kentucky because I just remember everybody talking about it. And I was like, why would anybody do that?
A church bust? So it was happening in Kentucky and then they were like, no, this is illegal. And now we're talking about it on this podcast?
Yeah.
Taylor, wow. This is like so weird. Like what? This is so just everything comes in a circle. Wow, Taylor, the way you see time actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
It's all circular. It all comes back. Wow.
So, I mean, I'm just thinking... I mean, it's also funny, too, that they're, you know, they're like just taking the Bible so literally, because I think it's they use the King James Version. And there was also some people who were talking about how it's like this specific verse in Mark wasn't in there. And, you know, earlier editions of the Bible, it was like more of a footnote. And it's just sort of, and you know, also like with translation stuff, I'm like, I mean, shouldn't it just be like a metaphor? Like, I understand looking at the Bible as a metaphor as opposed to like a literal. I'm like, are you eating all that unleavened bread? I don't know. Like, what are you doing? But I did find a verse that I'm going to take very literally. It's Proverbs 31:6. It's, let beer be for those who are perishing, wine for those who are in anguish. And as someone in anguish, I'm going to drink me some wine.
Oh, wow. Nice.
I like that. Okay. Great.
But I guess we should just like get a six pack when we're dying and just like, I don't know exactly when you perish. It's kind of hard to drink while you're dying, I think, but I don't know.
It depends on how you're dying, I guess.
It does depend. Yeah, if you're like one of the sailors in the submarines, yeah, probably get a six pack. But I mean, it's hard. There's not very many bodegas underwater, so it might be hard to get a six pack. Anyway, so strychnine. Use strychnine in snakes. SS.
SS.
Got the alliteration.
PP, the BB, the SS.
Wow, wow, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And okay, here, are you ready for this transition?
Okay. Yes.
What
yes,
do snakes have? Tooths.
Ooh.
Yeah. No, don't they have fangs?
It's probably the same. I mean, I got fangs. That's how I
teeth are fangs.
Explain my teeth. I got all these fangs.
Fangs are not teeth. Wait, fangs are teeth.
Teeth are not fangs.
I think fangs are really hot. All right.
Anyway, Taylor's going to tell us a tooth tale, a TT.
A toothy so. Tale.
Titty Taylor telling us a tooth tale. Whoa.
TTTT.
TTTT.
All right, Taylor, take it away. Lead us through this journey. Okay, y'all.
Gabby, I feel like you're going to love this year that we're going to. 892 AD.
Oh, that's a sexy year. Mm-hmm. 892. Tell me about it.
So let's go. Okay, we're going back there. During this time, Great Britain had multiple kingdoms. They were being raided pretty regularly by Vikings.
Good. Down with the queen.
Yeah. So
well, was it Great Britain or was it just like a bunch of things?
It was what is now Great Britain. But that,
okay. So it's just like a lot of places.
A lot
that
of
are
places
different.
Over there.
Nice.
There were England. Nice. There was just all kinds of kingdoms. And we're going to talk about a fella named Sigurd Eystensson, a.k.a. Sigurd the Mighty, a.k.a. Second Earl of Orkney. Orkney is like these islands north of Scotland today. Sigurd means victory. So his name was really Mighty Victorious.
Ooh, wow.
And
maybe a man like that.
Yeah. And Mighty Victorious he was, okay?
Yeah, he was mighty and victorious.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
That's also a good name. Bessie Mash. But like, Mighty Bessie, Mighty Mash. That will be my new name.
Here's the thing. Back then, people would be like, oh yeah, he's like super great at war, super great at battle. I mean, basically everyone was until they died for the most part, right? I mean,
that's true. But also back then, people would call other people like, I don't know, Ellie the Tall, or like, I don't know,
Ivan the Terrible, but he's later.
Or like, I don't know, Richard the Smelly. So it's just funny. It's just funny what they chose.
And then we're Nika, Taylor, and Gabby, the mentally ill.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So,
okay.
Though also, can I just say about Victory is that I did study abroad in Paris in college, and I stayed in a host family, and I got bullied constantly by the 16-year-old who, I guess I was staying in her house, but her name is Rosa Victoire.
Oh, wow. So,
Rosa Victory, and she was so mean to me.
I don't know. There's something that makes me have feelings about Gabby being in college and being bullied by a 16-year-old.
Happiness?
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. It's like really bad, okay, but also kind of funny. Sorry, Gabby.
It was funny because my French was like not the best, and so she would be like saying terrible things to me that I would get the gist of what she was saying, but then I couldn't like say anything back because my French was so bad. She's like, I can't understand you. I was like, ah. Oh, anyway.
Okay. Sigurd the Mighty, he inherited the Orkney Islands from his brother, who received the islands when his son died in battle over the islands. So mm-hmm. it was inherited.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Sigurd was like, I need more. That's not enough. He's like, I want power. I want my own kingdom. And so he had his eye on Moray Next, which is on the coast of Scotland, like a ways south from where he was hanging out. And Mael Brigte was the king of Moray, and he was nicknamed Mael Brigte the Bucktooth due to his toothy smile. So we were talking about, like, you were saying, like, what, Richard the Smelly? Right? He was the Bucktoothed.
Wow.
Bear, he speaks to me because I have buck teeth myself.
That's funny. I did not know that you had buck teeth. I just thought you were very beautiful, but...
Oh,
now you're even more beautiful because I have a thing for buck teeth.
He might have had been beautiful too with his buck teeth, you know.
Oh, I'm sure he was.
He was like saying as like a pride. He's like, "Yeah, look at my buck teeth, bitches."
Anyway, Sigurd the Mighty challenged the King of Moray to a battle, and they agreed to a battle 40 men each. So typically, Vikings were fans of the whole like sneak attack where they'd catch their victims off guard. But this was prearranged, which I think is really funny. I kind of just like imagine them being like, okay, I want to have this land. And he's like, no, but it's like my land. And you're like, okay, well, I'll fight you for it. And they're like, yeah, okay, that seems like a good idea. But like, let's just like make it kind of like a low key battle. So just 40 on each side should be plenty.
Like, yeah, put it in the G-cal.
That's exactly how it went. You
know? Yeah, like, that's really what I imagine. Like, not a big deal. Like, just 40, it's fine.
Ugh, the idea of facilitating a G-cal invite and then putting 80 people on it and then getting RSVPs that literally is my dream. I would love to do that. RSVPs are, like, my drug. Okay, continue.
Hey, Nika, I want your house, so... I know it's yours, but I would like it. So if you want to have a low-key
low-key dance-off?
Ooh.
I would win, though. Let's be honest. Yeah.
Well, not if I could bring 40 of my closest friends in. You know, some of them could dance.
That's actually really fair. I'm going to lose my house, you guys.
Anyway, so Sigurd was like, you know, this dude, he may cheat, so I better cheat.
Wow.
Wow, he's mighty, but he's not very honest.
No, he's not. He was Sigurd the not very honest. So he had, he put two people on a horse, two people to a horse. So 40 horses, 80 men. Well, guess what? Mael Brigte was honorable and he kept his word to 40 men. But he was like, oh, shoot. Like, I see two sets of legs on each of these horses, it's a problem. So obviously, the fight was incredibly unfair. Two Vikings to one Scotsman. And Sigurd was like, he told all of his buddies, he was like, hey, I want Mael Brigte to myself. And so Sigurd gets to him, chops his head off.
But that's not fair. That's not, like, Sigurd, that's not even how it works.
Don't worry.
The Vikings weren't very fair.
We're not done yet. So victory was declared by Sigurd and his people. And he was like, hey, man, like, hey to all my buddies, like, chop off their heads and put them on your horse's saddle. We'll go back to Orkney and show everybody how cool we are for defeating them, despite cheating.
I wonder if they had to fight over, because, like, then his 80 dudes, not every single one of them would get their own head to chop off. So I wonder if then they fought about, like, who gets to chop the head off, you know? Or maybe they just had, like, one dude who's, like, the head chopper.
Well, not everybody got a head, right? Because there was 80 of them and 40 of them. I know. So not everybody got a head.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Mr. Bucktooth was not done fighting, like, even though he's dead.
And his head's been chopped off.
Yep. Despite only being a head now, I mean, his body's over there. His head is now dingle-dangling from the saddle. And his teeth, his little buck teeth, were rubbing up against Sigurd's leg.
Okay? That's literally disgusting, Taylor. That is literally disgusting. Yep. You are so gross, Taylor, just for saying that. That is so disgusting. The thing in my head right now is honestly going to give me nightmares tonight.
Wow. So I guess his teeth were kind of sharp. So maybe they were, like, fang-like. And I couldn't actually figure this out because I saw it in, like, both ways. But I don't know if he had an existing scratch or if his teeth caused the scratch or if there was some combination of both. But 892 AD was not known for their hygiene, much less their oral hygiene.
Oh, no.
And so old Miles' stinky teeth bacteria got all up in Sigurd's wound and into his bloodstream.
Oh.
He just nibbled. He nibbled post-mortem.
Yes, he did. And the cut got infected, swollen, pussy, gross, ugh, nastiness. There was no antibiotics back then. So he suffered blood poisoning and died shortly after battle.
Oh my goodness.
Sigurd?
So let me tell you.
Sigurd the Mighty.
Yep, Sigurd the Mighty. He ended up losing the battle. Like, who really won the battle? We don't know.
Well, I guess he did win, but then he died.
Well, but that was karma coming back to bite you in the leg.
Honestly.
bite you in your leg to infect your scratches.
Yeah. So, you know, Gabby, I know you have more to talk about oral hygiene. But, you know, I really felt like Sigurd deserved that.
I agree, but I do, honestly, the imagery that you gave me about this, you know, decapitated head riding alongside of Sigurd, you know, chewing, chomping, you know, nibbling, you know, squeezing some little juice out of, like, Sigurd's leg and infecting him, I don't want that, personally.
He's just, like, riding along all happy. He's like, mwahaha, I won, but I cheated, of course I won. And then he's like, and then I've got his head, and then, but, like, meanwhile, the head's like,
that's an important lesson. That's an important lesson.
Yeah.
Okay? Don't cheat, you guys. Don't cheat.
Always be honest.
Yeah.
You know, this connects back to our snake discussion, because even after you chop a snake's head off, it can still bite you. Mm-hmm. And that's what they say about buck tooth people, too.
Oh.
Even if you chop their heads off, they can still bite you. So watch out for Taylor.
Watch out for Taylor. I'm scared.
Next time you go into battle with Taylor, you don't know what's going to happen, okay? Oh, we are learning lessons and learning about ourselves. So we'll be right back with a little bit more information. We're keeping ourselves in the mouth, okay? And we'll be right back. We are back. We are showing our beautiful teeth.
I actually have really beautiful teeth, and I never had to have braces.
That's great.
I had braces. I had, like, the rubber bands going, like, crisscross across my mouth and headgear and the whole nine yards.
I want Taylor to bite my cheek so bad. Just, like, a light nibble. I'm like, please. Ew. Just right here.
No.
But she might have bacteria in those teeth.
Taylor's teeth are very hygienic, okay?
TTTTs. TTs, TTs, TTs. Okay.
Amazing.
Here's the thing about the teeth. Yeah, I mean, the tooths weren't really good, you know, back then. That's all I'm saying. They did not, But at the same time, back in the day being like times that are before now and a long stretch of those times from the BCs to the ADs, they actually might have had better teeth, though, because they didn't have as many like processed foods and sugar. So our teeth might actually, you know, we have better dentistry, obviously, but mm-hmm. our teeth are getting a lot more maybe nasty shit.
Is this your opinion or is this scientific fact?
This is what some people said on their blogs.
Who's some people?
I was gonna say, what? I was on a dentist blog. And, you know, it's kind of like this idea, like our food, like we do, our food is, you know, kind of gross, you know, in many ways. But, you know, we can maintain our teeth. Good for us. We're doing a good job.
We brush twice a day.
Except for me. I have cavities and didn't get dental insurance because I'm stupid. But
no, I don't have dental insurance either. But yeah, I just go to Colombia to get any teeth stuff done. Actually, I broke my tooth recently. So I'm going to go there in like 3 weeks. Okay.
Ooh, new tooth. But here's the thing, though, you know, they did have dentistry back in the day. You know, there's like, you know, ancient Egyptians, there's evidence of some tooth shit that they were doing. There's also like the Greeks talk about tooth shit, but they didn't really do much with dentistry because apparently it was a sign of pride to suffer. So if you had like painful teeth, then like good for you. It was mostly like, how do you endure pain versus like, let's actually fix the problem.
That's dumb.
But the ancient Etruscans, they were the ones who were like really into like tooth decor. You know, they're the ones who maybe, I'm not going to say they did the first grill, but they definitely had some grills. They would get like gold wiring and they would sort of like, you know, they would wire your tooth back in place or whatever. But sometimes they would also just do it for decoration. You know, they wanted to look
so
pretty.
Cool. I love that.
Yeah. Let me see your grill, my dudes. And the Vikings, though, the Vikings were another people who were also very preoccupied with their appearance, okay? You know, there's some tombs of some Viking lords where they were buried with their combs because they wanted to have, you know, really nice hair in the afterlife. They also, you know, archaeologists have found like 4-pound necklaces made out of gold that they would wear. So they were trying to look fancy, you know? They were a fancy people. And their teeth, you know, they didn't have the greatest of teeth, but there are two different archaeological studies done. One in 2006, where there was a Swedish anthropologist who they looked at 557 Viking skeletons and found that in 24 of those skeletons that they actually had these horizontal grooves on their teeth.
Horizontal grooves.
Horizontal grooves. But then in 2009, there is some anthropologists found 54 bodies just in this like mass grave of Vikings. And they also found that these Vikings also had horizontal grooves on their front two teeth. And then some of them had some more grooves. And so they're assuming, they're like, well, this seems like this was intentional work where they would intentionally get grooves in their teeth. And they're not exactly sure the reason, but they think it's probably because, you know, to show that you're a toughie, you know, and you're victorious.
So I'm sorry, would they shave like into the tooth horizontally?
Yeah. So it was That's just like, it was weird. on the top teeth. Yeah. They would do these little two, like, I guess basically it's like decorating your teeth by chiseling it, you know?
Ooh, like an ice sculpture for your teeth.
It's an ice sculpture for your teeth.
You know, they would do that in like 19th century, like curiosity shows. There was this one kid that was called the Leopard Boy, and they chiseled his teeth into like fangs, basically, like all of his teeth to look like more animal-like. Yeah, like pointy.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. That sounds problematic and fun.
Extremely problematic, yes.
Yeah, but the thing about the Vikings is that they were a very well-traveled people. So they would kind of, you know, go over to Africa. There's also evidence that they, you know, they went over to Greenland.
They liked boating around.
They were boating around. And, you know, there's like, yeah, obviously I have some evidence that they went over to the Americas long before Mr. Columbus. And because like anthropologists were trying to figure out like how did they, you know, come up with this idea, because the Vikings also like it was very common that they would like, you know, like copy other people's traditions or kind of like, you know,
appropriate.
They would appropriate other people's cultures, but probably like maybe they would also like pillage and rape and stuff. But pillaging and raping, that wasn't just the Vikings. A lot of folks were doing that back then, you know.
Are you saying that makes it okay, Gabby?
It makes it okay. Does that make it okay? Everyone's doing that. It's fine. But yeah, there's like, some anthropologists were thinking like maybe because in West Africa, there was a lot of different people who did sort of like decorative tooth modifications who also kind of filed their teeth into, you know, sharper, similar to what Nico was talking about, of like filing people's teeth down to make them pointier. But then they're also saying that the horizontal grooves looked very similar to Native American tribes that are by the Great Lakes, but then also in like Georgia and Louisiana. But there's no evidence that the Vikings ever made it that far. But they're saying, like, oh, maybe they met some people and they're like, I like how you're doing your tooths. We're going to do our tooths that way too. Okay. And then the Vikings also, there's like, you know, documentation of people describing a Viking attack and being like, they all had like red teeth. And they're, so people are thinking either they would paint their teeth red to look scary, you know,
which tracks, like I would be scared
by that. I would be, you know, like these
scared, grooves. But also kind of turned on. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, of course. Grooved and red teeth. But then there was also on this dentistry blog that I was on, it was funny. The dentists were like, well, maybe they actually just had really bad teeth, you know?
That's like, actually, are you looking
tough or do you have bad teeth?
Also, I love that you were reading dentistry blogs.
Yeah, it's my new favorite thing. You know, there's a lot of, I just love when you get into any subgroup, you know, the subgroup of the dentist, you know, you can be arguing all day. You know, were the Vikings, were they toughies or were they bad mouthies? You know,
dentists kind of have a point though, because like flossing is actually really nice. Like when you get really in there and then your teeth feel squeaky clean, like, ooh, this is a nice feeling. You know?
Why the way you said squeaky just like grossed squeak, me out, squeak. But it did.
It's nice. It's good. I don't know. Maybe I'll start reading dentistry blogs.
So I would just want to say, let's just shout out to the Vikings. You know, they were doing some teeth decor. They were trying to look hot. They were trying to look good. They were trying to comb their hair. They had their like, you know, their gold chains. They were, I feel like they were fashionistas.
They definitely were.
So give it up for the Vikings and their fashionable pursuits.
Do you think a Viking would date me? Like if I was back then, do you think a Viking would like me?
Probably. But also I should point out that Vikings, like half of Viking warriors were women. So like they actually, you know, everybody. Yeah, exactly. Better. I'm just saying that everyone was a toughie.
I love that so much.
Yeah.
This is so wonderful. I love it. I mean, their breath must have been terrible, but I feel like that's everyone back then. So, and even now sometimes.
I was going to say people now don't have the greatest breath sometimes.
Ew. Yes.
There are like evidence of like ancient toothpastes. Not necessarily for the Vikings, though.
Oh, yeah.
But it's people used to, like, you know, they would chew on mint leaves and make, like, a paste out of some similar ingredients that are used in, like, natural toothpaste today.
Not strychnine, though. Or strychnine. How do you say
not
that?
Not strychnine.
Strychnine. Yeah, they were not strychnine.
Though there's probably some, like, ancient poisons people put in their mouths to clean. You know, I wouldn't doubt it.
I don't
Well, you're
either.
Not supposed to swallow toothpaste. So it's got something really? In there that's not good for you. Gabby's like, oh, shoot.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit, no.
Yeah, toothpaste is actually, the fluoride in it is what stops us from growing our third eye. So don't know if you guys knew that, but I'm kidding.
Oh.
I'm literally kidding. Oh. Well, actually, I'm not. I have read that before. Oh. That's a real take from some people. But I think this feels like a good place to not go on another tangent.
Yeah. We're ending tangents now. We're ending the conversation. We know about teeth. We know about snakes. We know about poison. We know about the Vikings. We know a lot more than we used. We know about serial killers.
Absolutely. Don't forget to floss.
Don't forget to floss is the main lesson I think we learned today. I'm going to go do that right now. So we got to end this episode because I got to do it ASAP.
Yeah.
All right. This is Cadaver Gals. Thanks for listening. Talk at you next week.
Cadaver Gals.
Cadaver Gals is a production of School of Humans and iHeartRadio. It is hosted by Gabby Watts, Nika Duarte, and Taylor Church. You can find us on the internet, and you can also, like our podcast or whatever on the iTunes app. But you can find us at Cadaver Gals on Twitter and Instagram. XOXO, Gossip Girl.